Upland Bible Church, Pastor Richard J. Olson, 920 Upland Boulevard, Las Vegas, Nevada, 89107. Sunday, first class, June 18th, 2023, Romans.
Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the teaching of God's Word. And therefore, open the Word of God to Romans chapter 6. Romans 6. SOP calls for a few moments of silent prayer. That gives you the privacy of your priesthood. It gives you the opportunity of examining your own soul. Make sure there's no unconfessed sin in your life. If there is, rebound is the order of the day, 1 John 1:9. If we acknowledge our sins to God, He, God, is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Instantly you're restored to fellowship with God, the filling of the Spirit, and your spiritual life. And now you can do a right thing, worship the Lord the right way by the power of the Spirit of God. In preparation to worship our Lord, let's pray. Father, we thank You, sir, for Your infinite and Your matchless grace. And we thank You, Heavenly Father, that You have magnified Your Word over all of Your name. And therefore, the Word of God is more important than the very air that we breathe. And as we assemble this morning to fellowship in the Word, we ask that our teacher, God the Holy Spirit, will set apart the absolute truth of Scripture to the nourishment and to the benefit of each one of our souls. We pray these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Happy Father's Day to all you fathers. Father's Day is a part of divine institution number 3, the family. God has provided for the whole human race 4 divine institutions. Divine institution number 1, which is freedom, volition. Divine institution number 2, which is marriage. And the Lord Jesus Christ is the one who invented marriage. He is the expert on marriage. And marriage is designed for one man and one woman. Not two men, not two women, not... we won't get into the really goofy ones. But we are in a state of apostasy and degeneracy today. And now, the truth of the absolute truth of the Word of God is not important. In fact, we are called hypocrites. Hate. We have hate because we hate. If you're a lesbian or a homosexual, they accuse Christians of hating. And of course, we understand that when we grow up in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ and have virtue love brought to completion in our hearts, we have the great motivational virtue, personal love for God. And that motivates the great functional virtue, impersonal love for all mankind. But these people don't even know. They don't have a clue about God or the grace of God or the policy of God. They don't have a clue about virtue love and that the believer living the spiritual life has impersonal love for all. We don't hate individuals. They're wrong, and you stand up for what's right. You believe the truth of the Word of God and what's right. They're free to make their own decisions. They're free to reject the Word of God. They're free to, you're free to have their, there's Christianity, there's Islam, there's all of these different religions. You're free to believe whatever you want to believe. That doesn't mean it's right. So we have the privilege of knowing the living and true God, Jesus Christ. And we have the privilege of having the scriptures, the God-breathed scriptures, which are absolute truth. And you have the freedom to believe the truth of the Word of God, that that's true. You don't hate those that don't. You have impersonal love for all when you are a spiritually mature believer. And you have occupation with Jesus Christ. There are people all over the world that have freedom to believe whatever religion they want to believe or believe that there is no God. An atheist. That's impossible to be an atheist if you're objective. That means you've checked everything in the universe and human beings can't hardly take care of their checkbook, let alone the universe. So there is truth and there are lies. And there are a lot of people that believe the lies. They're free to do that. And you're free to believe the truth. But the great thing about the spiritual life and attaining spiritual maturity is we have virtue love brought to completion in our hearts and you have impersonal love for all. You don't compromise the Word of God. You give the grace gospel whenever God opens the door for you. You give the grace gospel about Jesus Christ. And you present truth to those who are seeking truth. And there are those that are. So here are these phenomenal four divine institutions, which are for the whole human race. Freedom, marriage, family, and nationalism. And they're all under attack. They are all under attack in our nation right now. We are living in days of apostasy and degeneracy. Nationalism is a divine institution to protect the human race. We are getting close to the end of the church age. The rapture can happen any time now. The Golden Knights won the Stanley Cup. So it's going to happen pretty soon now. And when it does, we can enter into a period called the 7-year tribulation period, and an individual will come on the scene called the Antichrist. And he will foment internationalism and declare himself to be God and demand to be worshipped by people all over the world as God. In the tribulation, internationalism, which is a great, great evil. And if the Lord Jesus Christ doesn't return at the exact time that he returns, it would destroy human race. But Jesus Christ will return at the second advent, at the end of that 7-year tribulation period. But in the meantime, we're living in the church age right now. 4 divine institutions: freedom, marriage, family, nationalism. Enjoy those. And enjoy today, Father's Day. And all of you who have fathers, as you grow up in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ, you honor your father and your mother. And that is the result of, again, developing virtue, honor, integrity, grace, righteousness, living the spiritual life. Well, we are in Romans chapter 6. I know a lot of you thought the rapture would occur before we got to chapter 6, but we're here. Romans 6 outline, there's 2 rhetorical questions and 2 answers. Rhetorical question number 1 is found in Romans 6, 1. The answer to that rhetorical question is found in Romans 6, verses 2 to 14. Rhetorical question number 2 is found in verse 15. And the answer to that rhetorical question is found in verses 15 to 23. So we are at rhetorical question number 1, which concerns the old sin nature. And it starts out with the phrase in the King James, "What shall we say then?" In the Greek, it sounds like this: "Ti un erumen." And that is actually the neuter of the interrogative pronoun tis, plus the inferential conjunction un, plus the future active indicative of lego. And what that is, ti un erumen, that is a rhetorical transition formula. A rhetorical transition formula, and is translated, "Therefore, what are we to say?" or "Therefore, what are we to conclude?" Now, the Apostle Paul uses this rhetorical transition formula all throughout the book of Romans. He uses it 7 times. In Romans 3, 5, in Romans 4, 1, in Romans 6, 1, in Romans 7, 7, 8, 31, 9, 14, and 9, 30, he uses this specific rhetorical transition formula, ti un erumen. You see, right now in our passage, there were many believers in Rome that had listened to what Paul was teaching, and they came to a false conclusion. They listened to what was taught in Romans 5:20. Now, the law came in order that the transgression, Adam's original sin, might increase and multiply. But where sin increased and multiplied, grace increased in superabundance. Their false conclusion was, well, we should keep on sinning. We need to sin more and more so we can have more grace. And when I'm going through this, I thought, you know, there's a lot of people in Las Vegas think the same way. We need to keep on sinning. Well, Christians in Las Vegas, so that we can have more grace. The word "to continue" is the Greek verb epimeno, literally means to stay or to remain. Figuratively, which is how it's used in our verse, it means to continue. And then hamartia, the word for sin, again, if it's in the plural, it refers to personal sins. That's coming up a little bit in the second rhetorical question. But here it's in the singular. And when you have hamartia in the singular, which is what we have, most of the time it refers to the old sin nature. Sometimes to the principle of sin, but most of the time the sin nature. So, verse 1 sounded like this after the exegesis: "Therefore, what are we to say?" Or, "Therefore, what are we to conclude?" Are we to continue in the sphere of the sin nature for the purpose that the grace of God might increase? Well, we got the exegesis. We didn't pull it together. So point one. I know you just have been waiting to get your pens ready. Sin is not the source of grace. Sin is not the source of grace. Two, the sin nature is not the source of grace. Sin is not the source of grace. The sin nature is not the source of grace. Three, Satan and his cosmic system are not the source of grace. Satan and his cosmic system are not the source of grace. For God is the source of grace. God is the source of grace. Five, grace is related to who and what God is, not what the old sin nature is. Grace is related to who and what God is. Six, grace is the plan of God, and grace is the policy of God. Grace is the plan of God, and grace is the policy of God. God's plan for salvation is grace. That plan of salvation, which is grace plan, was motivated by God's virtue love, impersonal love for the whole human race. He designed Operation Grace. He designed the cross. Salvation is by grace. Ephesians 2, 8 and 9, for by grace you are saved through faith. And this salvation is not of yourself. It is the gift of God. Not of works, not of works, lest any man should boast. And spirituality is by grace. Ephesians 5:18, keep on being filled or empowered by the Holy Spirit. Galatians 5:16, walk by means of the Spirit, and you will not carry out the lust patterns of the sin nature. Salvation is by grace. Spirituality is by grace. Grace is the plan of God, and grace is the policy of God. Seven, at physical birth, Adam's original sin is imputed to the genetically formed sin nature, resulting in spiritual death. At physical birth, we all come into the world physically alive, but in the status of spiritual death. We have a problem. We have no relationship with God. We're physically alive, but we're spiritually dead. So at physical birth, Adam's original sin is imputed to the genetically formed sin nature, resulting in spiritual death. Eight, the old sin nature ruling over human life at physical birth is the result of our spiritual death, not the grace of God. The old sin nature's ruling over human life at physical birth is the result of our spiritual death, not the grace of God. Nine. At spiritual birth, regeneration, at that moment of faith in Jesus Christ, the power of the sin nature over human life has been broken. Broken by the baptism of the Holy Spirit, retroactive and current positional truth. We were identified at the moment of faith in Christ. We're identified with Christ in his death, burial, and resurrection. Now we have a new authority, the Lord Jesus Christ. He is now the authority of our life. And we have the indwelling and filling of the Spirit. And that indwelling and filling of the Spirit is in your, indwelling is in your body. The filling of the Spirit is in your soul, in your body. Now you have two entities at war with each other. The sin nature in your body and the Holy Spirit in your body. And they're at war with one another, seeing who is going to control your soul. So at spiritual birth, regeneration, at that moment of faith in Christ, the power of the sin nature over human life has been broken by the baptism of the Spirit, retroactive and current positional truth, and now we have the indwelling of the Spirit as the base of operations for the filling of the Spirit. 10. As believers in Jesus Christ, we do not have to live under the rulership of the sin nature for grace to increase. As believers in Jesus Christ, we do not have to live under the rulership of the sin nature for grace to increase. Because grace will never increase when you live under the power of the sin nature. Grace increases by living the spiritual life by the spiritual skills and advancing to spiritual maturity. Grace increases by living the spiritual life by the spiritual skills and advancing to spiritual maturity. Not by living under the power of the sin nature. So grace increases by living the spiritual life, by the spiritual skills, advancing to spiritual maturity, not by living under the power of the sin nature. Justification. At that moment of faith in Jesus Christ, the justice of God imputes to each one of us the righteousness of God. So at that moment, you come to the cross, you place your faith in Jesus Christ, the justice of God imputes to each one of us the righteousness of God. And that establishes what? Grace, a grace pipeline. This justification, this encapsulation by the integrity of God, this grace pipeline, this is how grace increases. Not by the sin nature. Grace increases, well, you have instantly at the moment of faith in Jesus Christ, you have 40 salvation blessings that come to you instantly. Grace increases. And then, day after day after day after day, God sends down that grace pipeline, logistical grace, blessing and support to keep you alive in the middle of the devil's world. And that comes to you, grace increases. First of all, 40 salvation grace blessings, and then that increases every day. Logistical grace, logistical grace, logistical grace, logistical grace. And God gives you that so that you can have some time to find a sound Bible teaching church, start growing up in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ, live the spiritual life by the spiritual skills, attain spiritual maturity. And when you attain spiritual maturity, now grace really increases. Greater grace. Greater grace, blessing for time. Grace really increases and comes to you. Right in the middle of the devil's world. Greater grace, blessing, and time. Above and beyond anything you could ever ask or think. And then following that, dying grace comes down that. That increases to dying grace. We all live, we're all going to die. Apart from the rapture, and the rapture can happen now that we won the Stanley Cup. Oh, I got a special message from God. No, I didn't. Don't strike me, please, right now. Dying grace, and I hope you all die. I really do. I mean, I don't have anything against you. I'm not Elijah and Moses in the tribulation, and anybody that didn't listen to them, they just... and they burned them with fire, and they were dead. Now, that would be something kind of fun to have. But I may talk to God about that again, too. But. Dying grace, and then greater grace blessing for all eternity, awarded at the judgment seat of Christ. And what has happened? What has happened? Grace has increased. 40 salvation grace blessings. Increased logistical grace blessing day after day after day. You advance to maturity. Greater grace blessings in time. Dying grace blessing as you absent from the body face to face with the Lord. And greater grace blessings for all eternity. All on the fact of justification. God imputes to us His righteousness, establishing a grace pipeline so grace can increase. Grace can increase. Day after day after day, grace can increase and increase and increase. So point 12, justification in the grace pipeline is the grace provision from which all grace increase is accomplished. Justification and the grace pipeline is the grace provision from which all grace increase is accomplished. Thirteen. Neither the sin nature nor personal sins can cause grace to increase. Neither the sin nature nor personal sins can cause grace to increase. But there are some believers out there who go around and say, I'm going to sin so grace can abound. Now there's a name for these people. Spiritual idiots is pretty good. 14. As a result of justification and the establishment of the grace pipeline, grace increases. As a result of justification and the establishment of the grace pipeline, grace increases. From salvation and 40 salvation blessing to logistical grace blessing and support every single day in the middle of the devil's world, to greater grace blessing for time when you attain spiritual maturity, to dying grace blessing in your transfer from time to eternity, to greater grace blessing for all eternity awarded at the judgment seat of Christ. Grace just keeps increasing and increasing and increasing, and that is the plan of God. Our God is a God of grace and a God of truth. So Romans 6:1, therefore, what are we to say? What are we to conclude? Are we to continue in the sphere of the sin nature for the purpose that the grace of God might increase? Well, a couple more things. I don't want you to rest too quick here. One, you never increase grace by sinning. You never increase grace by sinning. 2. You increase grace by growing up in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, 2 Peter 3:18. Fulfilling the mandate. Grow up in the grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Grow up in grace, grace orientation, knowledge, doctrinal orientation of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. 3. Grace does not increase by the function of the sin nature in your life. Grace does not increase by the function of the sin nature in your life. Four, after salvation, after that moment of your faith in Jesus Christ, when you continue to live your life by the power of the sin nature, this does have a result. It results in living in the darkness of the cosmic system. It results in going through the 8 stages of reversionism. Five, therefore, sinning, living your life by the lust patterns of the sin nature does not increase grace. But it does increase something. It increases divine discipline. Warning discipline, intensive discipline, and if you don't turn around, wake up, dying discipline. So therefore, sinning, living by the lust patterns of the sin nature, does not increase grace, but it does increase something. It increases divine discipline. You're a royal family of God. You're a royal family of God. God loves you with infinite virtue love. And when He sees you living in Satan's cosmic system, you're getting ready to crash and burn. And He doesn't want you to crash and burn. So He, out of love, out of phenomenal virtue love, He spanks you. He does it to get your attention and say, wake up. Come to your senses. Wake up. You go through warning discipline, and God brings that warning discipline because He loves you. If you don't wake up there, He brings you intensive discipline because He loves you. And if you don't wake up there, you come under dying discipline. And there are believers that have gone all the way to dying discipline and woke up before they died. They rebounded. This is the incestuous Corinthian. Rebounded, got back into fellowship with God. Started growing up in the grace and knowledge of Christ. And this guy wanted to get back in the local church, but the church wouldn't let him back in. So, first of all, Paul chewed them all out because they didn't throw him out. And then after he rebounded and got back in fellowship, Paul had to chew them out because they wouldn't let him back in. And again, you ought to realize, and as you grow up in the grace and knowledge of Christ, people make mistakes. People sin. And the greatest believers of all time, the Apostle Paul, not only sinned from time to time, he got into reversionism. And he got clobbered in reversionism. But God also disciplined the Apostle Paul. And he went through great divine discipline, and he came to his senses and rebounded, got back into fellowship with God, got back into the spiritual life. And what did he do? Well, he became the greatest church age believer of all time. So Romans 6:1 again says, therefore, what are we to say, or what are we to conclude? Are we to continue in the sphere of the sin nature for the purpose that the grace of God might increase? Now, verses 2 to 14, the answer to this false assumption. And we start right out, and I kind of like the King James Version here. God forbid! Meganoita. This is the negative me plus the aorist active optative of the verb genomai. Well, this gets your attention if you're studying from the Greek. Meganoita. That's what the optative of genomai looks like. M long E G E N O I T O. Meganoita. All right, well, this is a very special phrase. So, one, meganoita is the strongest negative in the Greek. The strongest negative in the Greek. Two, if you literally translated this, the negative me with the aorist active optative of genomai, it would be translated literally, let it not be so. But that comes off a little bit weak. Let it not be so. Three, figuratively, it's way better translated. Actually, the King James isn't too bad. I kind of like that. God forbid! Or by no means. Or far from it. Or definitely not. Or emphatically not. Any of those would be great. God forbid, by no means, far from it, definitely not, emphatically not. Four, meganoita emphatically denies the allegation that living your life by the sin nature increases grace. Meganoita emphatically denies the allegation that living your life by the sin nature increases grace. Five, the allegation of verse 1 and the emphatic denial of verse 2 raises the question, well, what does increase grace? The allegation of verse 1 and the emphatic denial of verse 2 raises the question, well, what does increase grace? Well, one thing we know, definitely not the rulership of the sin nature over your life. That doesn't. Six, the grace of God increases in direct proportion of the believer living the spiritual life by the spiritual skill. The grace of God increases in direct proportion of the believer living the spiritual life by the spiritual skill. Advancing to spiritual maturity. And when you accomplish that now, not only did you have the 40 salvation blessings and logistical grace blessing increasing, but now you have greater grace blessings. Hope 2, greater grace blessing for time. Hope 3, greater grace blessing for eternity. So the grace of God increases in direct proportion of the believer living the spiritual life by the spiritual skills, advancing to spiritual maturity, and his qualification for greater grace blessing. Hope 2, greater grace blessing for time. Hope 3, greater grace blessings for eternity. 7. As the believer grows up in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ, grace increases and increases and increases and increases. You don't have to put all those increases there. As the believer grows up in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ, grace increases. So again, therefore, what are we to conclude? Are we to continue in the sphere of the sin nature for the purpose that the grace of God might increase? Emphatically not. God forbid. And then we have, how shall we that are dead to sin? This is the qualitative use of the pronoun hostess. And you would translate that to everyone who, it refers back to verse 1, the we, or we the very ones who, or we who. And then the aorist active indicative of apothenesco. APOTHN. Long E, S-K, long O, apothenesco. One, literally it refers to natural death or physical death. But it's not used that way here. It's not used literally for natural death or physical death. Point two, figuratively, apothenesco refers to the baptism of the Spirit. And by the way, Romans chapter 6 is the great chapter on the baptism of the Spirit, retroactive positional truth, identification with Christ in his death and burial, and current positional truth, identification with Christ in his resurrection. This is the great chapter on the baptism of the Spirit and retroactive and current positional truth. So here, apothenesco refers to the baptism of the Spirit at salvation. Three, it refers to retroactive and current positional truth. It refers to retroactive and current positional truth. Four, it refers to our identification with Christ in his death, burial, and resurrection. It refers to our identification with Christ in his death, burial, and resurrection. Five, through retroactive positional truth, we die to the rulership of the sin nature over human life. Through retroactive positional truth, we die to the rulership of the sin nature over human life. And once again, we have hamartia and the word for sin. And once again, it's in the singular and it refers to the old sin nature. So, a corrected translation. Emphatically not, definitely not, God forbid, we who have died to the sin nature, baptism of the Spirit, retroactive positional truth, how can we live any longer in it? Good question. And you got to come back for the second class to understand that. So we'll take our break. We'll see you in part two in a few.